GTD Podcast, Game Time Discussions, Episode 1 officially. Sam, Chris, Kevin, and AJ here. Wow, we finally made it. Long time coming for this crew to finally get behind the mic and get Game Time Discussions Episode 1 hammered out. I'm glad that we did it.
Yeah, almost got a little delayed, though. A little technical difficulties, some fighting, kicking, and screaming. I mean, whoa.
Only you're, on Sports Grid.
Your
only
big vacation is what grid. Set us back. That's what the rumor mill has.
No way. I was here last Monday. What do you mean?
Last Monday. That was a long time
ago. I left Martes, Tuesday.
Spanish is strong.
Came back speaking Dominican.
Whoa, they speak Spanish there. and some French.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, like, there was like...
Well, they're right next to Haiti.
Ah.
Yeah. But like, I was like... surprised when I heard people speak American out there. Like, no one spoke. Like, there was zero, like, not a lot of Americans at the resort.
All right, we made it, what, 55 seconds into the first episode before Chris went Chris on us all? I think
beast.
That cashed a lot of overs, actually.
What a beast.
A lot of Europeans there, that's all I got to say.
All right.
Do they speak European?
they speak different forms of European, yes. different European countries of their language. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
What a star.
A lot of stuff happened around the world of sports while Chris was gone over the last week.
He was plugged in though.
Of course, always got had to get the Dominican FanDuel open and place all those bets down there.
Nah.
I'm just gonna get this out of the way now because especially after our conversation, however many weeks ago it was, I'm gonna. Lightly assume nobody watched the Preakness, right? Nobody?
No, wrong.
Really?
Big wrong.
Major, huge wrong.
What? Way different. Okay, but like you can't.
Okay.
You can't blame me for that being my assumption.
When was the Preakness?
Saturday. No, can I tell you?
I was flying back, so no.
If you base it off of the Derby conversation.
Exactly.
Valid. If you base it off of knowing that we worked in IGL, that lasted as long as it did, largely to make sure we didn't miss the Preakness.
Right.
That kind of lands on you.
Okay.
So it's a 50-50.
Yeah, no. Blame pie.
Blame pie.
Right down the middle there. No, that's a good call.
Take the blame pie graphic.
Rob, take it, brother.
Take it, Rob.
Oh, man. Well, the listeners have no idea what
that's fine.
You're talking about, but that's okay.
They learn.
Yeah, I didn't watch the Preakness, but good for you for watching it.
So we were trying to, like, have fun with it on air. Of three guys who know nothing about horses.
Oh, gosh.
So I was like, all right, everyone say who you think is going to win. But also, like, tell me who's absolutely not going to win. So I was like, the horse has no chance. Like, good buddy Gosger. He was leading the entire way.
Oh, he was the one who what's his name ran up on?
The one yes. Caught. Not the bounce, but journalism was my pick. So it was... a split between as wrong as you can be and as right as you can be came out.
Did Tack have a take on a horse?
He got it from a buddy, I think. Coach liked Pay Billy and then called it Pay JY the rest of the time.
Such a wheel.
I think that horse honestly veered off the course almost immediately.
He left. He had to go to horse training.
All right.
Way more Preakness than I thought.
Yeah, that was crazy. I did not expect the Preakness to get a whole 3 minutes of episode one, but hey, there you go. To the more important sports over the weekend, and I guess this can get into someone's topic to an extent, because we had a game seven. We had two game sevens Sunday, but a game seven in the NBA.
Both Kevin, blowouts.
Well, yes, for sure. But a what, 30, 40-point blowout in OKC? And Kevin, there's something you wanted to talk about from that game.
Well, do you want to do topics and then wheel, or do you want to like mix in the wheels? How do you want to?
Oh, we can do. Well, this is interesting this week because my wheel is like kind of an extracurricular, so my wheel can go at the end.
Here's the thing: you know you're gonna pivot to the wheel that you wanted to give the whole time. And it's
no. I'm not gonna pivot. As much as I want to, I won't, I promise. Because my original wheel is somehow still wheelier than the wheel to whom you're referring.
I think that this is a good tease. We will not hit the wheel. NBA. We won't hit the NBA until we get to Wheel of the Week. We should just stick with our topics and then We'll get there, I think. Because I think we've got some good stuff on the board.
We do.
Production note, and we can even leave this in the show.
We should.
We need, for the podcast studio here, we need a board, like a whiteboard.
It's one of the conference rooms.
Like, we should probably use that. With, like, all of our topics and Wheels of the Week. Because in my head just there, I definitely got Kevin's topic and his Wheel of the Week just backwards, 100% back.
That's because you don't pay attention. That's not locked in.
I'd say 95%.
You need to go to the Dominican and take a break and get locked in.
When you go to a restaurant and you get the waiter doesn't write anything down.
All right.
Hold on. I'm always like concerned about it, but then like some of them got it, and then some don't. And my take on that is it's fine if you do it, but you then can't make a mistake. And you kind of made the decision of like, look, I'm a more charismatic server if I don't write down.
Well, he doesn't have his. He said,
if I don't write down burger,
well, listen,
cheese, no lettuce.
Well, listen, you guys want me writing down everything and sounding like a robot. All right.
Well,
fine.
You chose
if
not to
like
have your laptop
you
for this episode.
The charismatic nature of the show.
Hold on. Here's what I would say easily. Madden rating. Charisma went up huge once we took the
XP.
When we took the menu away, you were ripping and roaring. But
playmaking way
off
down.
The bat right now.
Recognition.
It feels 60-40. You couldn't list all four topics.
Oh, that's an interesting.
And the 60 is
that
dropping
more like
by
a
the
75-25.
Oh no,
oh, man,
that's not
minus,
great.
Minus 350. You can't. I'll bet that
here. The pivot would then be point to whoever you want to and be like, give me your topic. Because I think that's where we're leaning right now.
That is
now.
A great pivot.
I think you just I
spin the wheel. Dog.
That could be the root of the – you
spin,
might have just
unlocked wheel.
Something.
Spin the wheel. Figure out who goes first.
Yeah. Maybe we should.
The wheel.
I think you let AJ that off. That's my take.
There's no way he'd let him. Mm-hmm. Oh, forgot. Episode 0. Called him his Wheel of the Week.
Oh,
bad.
My God.
True.
Well, Chris, now you're letting out under the hat secrets. You can't
That's
just
true.
Go doing
bad
that.
Bad blood between
the
these two.
The unreleased tapes.
I mean, what are you talking about? We buried the time capsule. That's in the rearview mirror. He's not even the member of the crew I'm the most mad at right now.
Not even
you
close.
And I both know that.
Not even close.
Come on,
no.
Let's be
oh, no way. All right,
it's definitely Chris. I mean, we all know that. I mean, this guy leaves for a week. Yeah. He's going to do the show for a whole week and thinks I'm not going to be mad at him. I mean, what is this guy doing? All right. Go. Yeah, AJ, let's
– The wheel landed on AJ.
Okay, well, the wheel's on me, and we are opening up to the baseball world and to the American League Central and the Minnesota Twins. Twinkies just finally lost their streak, but they were on a 13-game winning streak, and as well as in the American League Central, the Detroit Tigers have the best record in the American League. So, where does the American League stand? Where do the Tigers stand? Where do the Twins stand? Just thoughts all around. I would like to hear.
Who wants to go first? I have a overarching central take that like captures. Maybe you guys have like more like team specific. Here's my overall take. I don't think the Central was good at all last year, and I don't care how many teams they put into the playoffs. They beat each other when they needed to, and then they all beat the White Sox. I actually think the Central is good this year. I think in this moment. It's better than the American League East, and it doesn't feel fake.
Yep.
Like, because of how bad Baltimore is, Boston feels more like people want it to be good
Toronto's
than they actually are.
Of being in, like, the shadow realm.
Tampa maybe lost their, like, pixie dust.
They don't even have a home.
Maybe I'm wrong that I went to the AL East before saying the AL West. AL East, though.
Well, but the AL East is the opposite, right?
I mean, AL East for years and years has been regarded as the best, most competitive, top to bottom.
100%.
Yeah. I think the Central is actually good. I think the Tigers lineup feels a lot realer. Cole Reagans, I know he just went down, is actually good this year, as opposed to having Seth Lugo backpack him for a full season.
Oh, my goodness.
Minnesota now figuring it out is like, okay, like they're going to be in the race.
Vecchio's pulling the fraud card, though. You know, he's like, it took him a 7-game win streak to get back to 500.
Come on, dude, stop spoiling the later segment.
No. Because I need to get to this point of the 500 itself, right? It's not about them. It is hard because Correa and Buxton, they just got in this collision. They're in a little bit of trouble.
Are they both in protocol or just one? No,
they're both in protocol right now.
Still, right?
And as we were talking about the Royals, Reagan's is hurt and Lugo's hurt. So they might be both kind of falling off a little bit here. They might both kind of fall back to earth. Do the Tigers ever fall back to earth? Kevin says, no, the Tigers are for real. I think they're kind of for real, but Sam, you've talked about it with me before. If the Tigers get into that desperation, just whoever can pitch besides Tariq, I worry about them. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So, It's May, right? So it's a little early to be saying what I'm about to say, but I don't think that the American League is shaped this year that a team like the Tigers from last year could have the same amount of success that they did. That is to say, I don't think there are as many American League teams that would struggle against a 2024 Tigers style of, yeah, we'll start our ace as many times as possible and figure it out whenever he can't pitch.
One last thing here before we move on to somebody else's topic. The winning division.
I didn't get the comment.
We don't have to rush off the second. I think it's a really interesting
but topic. But what I want to add here just to this to throw around for everyone, the winning division for the American League this year to make the World Series. The AL East is favored at plus 130. The American League Central is plus 210, and the AL West is plus 230.
Interesting.
I mean, bet against the AL East, and you're making profit.
That's really interesting.
At that point, they just take the Yankees to win.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I think the market's interesting. I don't know if I'm betting the market. What do you think about the Central?
I mean, I kind of think, like, you're right. Like, I think the Tigers are for real. But, like, they just feel like that young, scrappy team. Like Sam said, it's still early, right? Like, the pitching is not there after Tariq. Like, they're just, like, pacing together. Like,
Flaherty's supposed to be
good. Yeah, okay. So, like, Joe, they did it last year, too, right? Like, they weren't as this hot, but, like, they tailed off in the later parts of the summer. Like, they tailed off. And they got hot towards the end of September, got in. Comfortably, they got in. So, like, I think if Minnesota stays healthy, like if Buxton, like, okay, the concussion, like, dumb mistake, things happen, you go on the IL for 7 days. If he can stay healthy for, like, the whole season, like, I think Minnesota can catch him at plus 460. Like, they just feel like they have the star power, right? If they stay healthy, they have three good pitchers, I think. After that, it kind of gets dicey. They have a solid closer. Like, I think they're a team that's, like, desperate, too. Like, it's like, all right, let's
Minnesota.
Make
it.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, let's make a move down the stretch, right? Like, we got to do it. We'll do it. Like, boom. Like, I don't know if Detroit is at that point where they're like, whoa, like, we're ready to unload some young assets to kind of get, like, a big piece down the stretch.
So,
where Minnesota does feel desperate. But, like, overall element of the AL, like, I think it goes through the Yankees. The Mariners kind of intrigue me. Like, they're finally playing good. Like, they were supposed to be really good last year. And, like,
they're up to the third best.
They're kind of rad. Yeah. Like, I think that, like, I mean, they have the pitching. They have the superstars. Like, they can make a run for it. But, like, I feel like the AL goes through the Yankees.
I think that the Mariners still need to hit a little bit more consistently. What I'll say about the Tigers is this. I think that a lot of people in the baseball world are discounting the Javi Baez factor even still. I know it's only been two or three sustained weeks of him being a very good baseball player. But I think that his value to the Tigers is, while it's a ton on the field, don't get me wrong, he seems like such a valuable piece to that team off the field, and a team that we talked about last year having so much struggles. Like you mentioned, Chris, like during the middle of the year, it was like, this is just a young team and they haven't figured out what it takes to win during the dog days of summer. Yeah. Like, Javi Baez has been on really good teams with a lot of young players on it, and he kind of knows, you know, what it takes. So I do think that's going to be a huge piece for them. I love the Central. I think the Twins are incredible. I think Chris Paddock is one of the most underrated starters in the American League this year. Obviously, Pablo Lopez having a huge bounce back this year. That staff is loaded. Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think they could do something in the postseason. I think you could see them make an ALCS run. But the question I wanted to ask you, specifically, Kevin, because I feel like this has always been, especially this season, a barometer in the American League. Do you think, or what do you think it would take for either of those teams, the Twins or the Tigers, if not a 13-game win streak, to be favored over the Yankees to win the American League?
Oh, boy. first answer, cop out answer is injury. Like, but baseball, sometimes that happens. And I don't mean big 9-9.
Yeah, no, not, yeah. I thought you meant like.
Like if
Will Warren.
If like Max Fried went down, like, okay, that would, like, be. Yeah,
that's a Cy Young candidate, though.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like, Max wasn't supposed to be this good. I think it would be very difficult, but you've seen the Yankee number start to come back a little bit. I think we've talked about with the Yankee number all offseason, right? Was I understood Yankee skepticism. I just didn't know who you thought belonged in front of them. And I think Detroit's making the most compelling case to be like, we're better than them. Here's the thing with Detroit, the comparison to me, and I want to be careful here. It feels like OKC, not this year's Thunder. So three seasons ago, OKC started to show the promise, got into the play-in, ultimately didn't make it. Now, last year's Detroit was more successful than that. But the follow-up to OKC's play-in run was being the number one seed in the West. And that feels like Detroit could very much so have the best record in the American League. The Scooball SGA comparison, it's not my favorite I've ever made, but you see the vision. That's like, I'm buying into the Detroit offense because, and this is my, like, I'll use like my common man bar for stuff, but like, I know a lot of guys in that lineup. But like, beyond Baez, like, Torque, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Sweeney when he gets his starts. Like, there's more there. And also, and this was something that was, you both beat me on this last year, because I was not in on Kansas City. They flew past the win total. I feel way more in on KC this year and think they're a big.
Really?
Because the pitching, because I'm more in on Reagans.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
He has 4 10-plus K games already this year. They need another bat, though. They're asking Bobby Witt to do way much in that lineup.
Well, Michael Garcia has missed a lot of time.
Their top prospect that they just drafted, I thought he was going
to. Cags?
Yes. I thought Cags. Caglione, I thought.
You're back.
Was going to skip double A and just go straight up.
Yeah.
He just made it to triple A.
Triple A, yeah.
Yesterday or the day before.
Which, and as, I mean, as AJ knows, but like, calling up a prospect who you just drafted to triple A, that's going to be a very, very short-lived time in triple A because.
So he's going to hit the roster this year? That's
absolutely
the idea?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's going to hit the, I mean,
he
July.
Will be here.
Okay.
If he hits at all well in AAA, anywhere close to as well as he was doing in AA.
That's interesting. But I feel like, to what Chris said, like, the maybe the other way to what Chris said, to answer your question, maybe the way to jump the Yankees is one of these teams makes the huge deadline trade. If one of them, you know, makes that whoa.
You think the Yankees are going to be the AL favorite all the way until August?
I think,
yeah.
Really,
due to the slow starts for, I think Houston, Texas, Boston, Baltimore, like, those were the teams that they would have been more willing to jump in front of the Yankees.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they've been the favorite for the last 3 months. Why wouldn't they be the favorite for 3 more? But it's interesting to think about.
Like, again, like, I know baseball's so fluid, but if you think about other sports, like, oh, Boston was favored to win the East literally the entire season. Until they obviously were gone. Like, you know, in the NBA, right? In the NFL, you know, it's like, it's Casey, Casey, Casey. Whoa, Buffalo, 2 weeks. Casey, Casey, Casey. Baltimore, like, right. You know, but like the Yankees will never be outside of the top 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not top 2 in the American League. So they're going to be right there the whole way.
Anything else to add?
No.
All right.
New topic.
Spin the wheel. Oh, it landed on me. Okay, well, we'll stay in baseball.
Love that for you.
It landed on me.
So my topic originated from the group chat because a couple of days ago, no, yesterday, the day before we were recording this, AJ and I were sitting in the office. Chris had just gotten back from vacation, and Kevin was doing something, I assume getting ready for baseball. And sends a text in the group chat. Is Spencer Schwellenbach a top 10 pitcher in the National League right now? AJ and I had a little in-person conversation. Don't really need to get into the specifics of that. Chris immediately comes back in the group chat with, that's blasphemous. He's not even top 20 if everybody's healthy. You're crazy. I immediately said there's a topic for the podcast. So I wanted to kind of get into the top 10 pitchers in the National League, especially because this season we have a guy in his second year as the clear-cut, far and away number one. No question about it.
I think you, or you would know better, but should you let Chris explain why he was so offended by Schwellenbach, or do you want to keep setting the full table?
Well, I'm fine with either, Chris. If you're really passionate about Spencer Schwellenbach,
well, no, because like I didn't. So like I thought Kevin's like you cleared it up before the pod. We're like, I thought like you were like generally like, oh, Schwellenbach's top 10 pitcher. I'm like, this guy's ripping the vape way too hard. This is fucking gone. Like, what's going on? Like, secondhand vape. Like, this guy's nuts. Like, is he playing MLB The Show? Like, I don't get it. But then you pulled a heel turn on me, and you're on my side.
Yes. Okay. So I asked the question, not giving a take, literally just wondering what they thought to try and help me understand something, because I feel that when Schwellenbach starts for Atlanta, they are booked as one of the best teams in baseball. That's how I feel. Not, you know, Yamamoto Dodgers, Wheeler Phillies, but that led me to ask, is this guy one of the 10 best pitchers? Which then led Chris to shift him outside of the top 20 pretty quickly.
So, like, I listed a bunch of pitchers.
Okay.
I know you, like, did some research on that, too. Like, we can go through, though, a few of them and see, like, who you'd rather take if they were going head-to-head.
So I thought this would be fun to do, maybe. Well, you guys can tell me your thoughts.
You just didn't even hear out my idea.
No. Well, because you were about to spoil.
Yeah, it is his topic. It is his topic, to be fair.
Oh.
So but it's Chris's topic.
My idea for this topic
was... Hi, Jack.
Whoa. What if we came up with a consensus for the show top 10 National League pitchers right now?
I think we could probably get... close.
I think we could get really close to the point where.
My point's more or less like, okay, like you know that there's like at least 10 guys that are better than him.
So that's what I.
So like, I feel like there's guys in the same category.
Sure.
To where you think like, who would you take if they were going head to head, right? Because like, you're right. Like it was the other day and they were playing the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they're playing a rat team like the White Sox. Sorry, AJ, or the Nationals.
Wow.
Sorry, Sam.
All right.
Or the Marlins. Sorry, Mish. But like, you know, like
Mish.
It was a solid team that team has love, like the fans have love for, and they're betting on.
Yeah.
So like, there's some guys who I feel like are in the same conversation as Schwellenbach. Couldn't spell Schwellenbach, by the way. You should have seen how I spelled it on the rundown at first.
Oh, my question is because I did too much also, like, just, you know, surface research to not do something on the top 10 pitchers. But would either AJ, Sam, would you expect him to be in the top 10 in the National League? I would not, based on what I, like, incredibly, the person who asked the question almost now can't believe it was the question asking.
My answer on my notes, hell no.
Not close.
No. I thought the top 10 was definitely a stretch. I think you would have to be, because he's, again, I think my immediate reaction was he's not even the best pitcher on his own team. How is he going to be a top 10 pitcher in the National
League? Remove Strider, I think, by the way.
But I don't
think, for this exercise.
I don't think that he's far outside of the top 20. In fact, I think he's inside the top 20.
All right, so... I made him
legitimately 10.
Okay.
At 10.
Okay, so you have your own... Do you have a list? Because, there's lists to go around.
So do injured... Like, what are we ruling injured players? Like, not Strider, but like... Okay, Umaga, Hunter Green, like Snell, like...
I think guys on like short-term IL can be fine. I think 60-day IL should be gone.
But see, with Strider's cutting me back. I'm not including Strider. Yeah, I'm not including Snell.
Okay.
I'll just go from here. Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto, Logan Webb, Hunter Green, Kodai Senga, Freddy Peralta, Chris Sale, Michael King, and then Schwellenbach. So he's ahead of, though, like Cease, Pavetta, Sonny Gray,
my Gallant. Only difference is...
What about Michael King? He's been like the best player in the Padres.
King's ahead.
Yeah, I have King in there.
But not Luzardo, not Corbin Burns.
Wait, does anyone not have King in their top 10?
He would be there for the way I work the list. I don't think he's like, I kind of had like a top six tier that we could do, but I didn't have him there. I'm going to throw out some names. Sorry, no, go ahead.
No, how about you, Mr. Sam? Gore or Schwellenbach?
So, yeah, I didn't have Gore in my top 10. Okay. I did have Schwellenbach ahead of him. Listen, the way too deep breakdown of that is I think Mackenzie Gore is kind of having, as you and I have talked about off air, like Mitchell Parker asks short-term success. I think the whiff rate on his off-speed stuff is great, but it's, I don't think it's super sustainable for Mackenzie Gore to be this world beater top 10 pitcher in the National League. Who I did have in my top 10, who you didn't mention, I believe, you didn't mention.
You did not have Imanaga in yours?
You didn't No, you did have Michael
I'd
King
rather
in
have
yours.
Interesting.
How? And I want to just clarify, due to this, due to sometimes my state of baseball knowledge, these questions are more curiosity than like I'm about to go crazy.
Like pre-show?
So that, like, what I've seen of Imanaga, I can't imagine how he would be outside of the top 10. I mean, last year he was brilliant. He started this year really good. Unless I've missed something.
No, I mean, it's...
I had Imanaga in over Senga. That's our. That's the difference between our list and Senga.
Really?
Yeah. I had Imanaga in at 9, and I didn't have Senga on my list.
I think I have Senga very higher than you. Like, way higher.
Yeah, you do. I
would have both of them.
How high you have Senga.
Senga's numbers, he doesn't have like the pedigree of some of the other guys, but they feel very much deserving of this list. Can I just throw out a couple of other names that I had listed? So I, at some point,
yeah,
I'll give you what I thought was like the top six of it all. But
I swear I have the guy here who didn't mention.
So where are you guys at on Dylan Cease?
He has him outside.
No. Yeah,
but are you guys like done with him?
Because no,
I think he's just inconsistent. Like,
I know Cease very well from White Sox days that, you know, he can get you a lot of strikeouts, but he's still a hittable pitcher, and he still gives up a lot of walks. He still gives up a lot of base runners. But when he has hot stretches, he has hot stretches. Doesn't mean he's a bad player, but he's not Cy Young.
To be fair, I would take Cease over Schwellenbach for the pedigree.
I found Cease to be really tricky because
I would take Pivetta over Cease, though, right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, here's the thing. So Cease has one really, really bad start this year that has jacked up the ERA. But even if you remove the start, it's not like it's a sub-3 ERA.
Right, and he still gives up a ton of base runners in those starts, even when he only gives up one or two runs. I didn't give him a number, but just based off of feel from who I was looking at for this list, it feels like Cease would fall like 13, 15. I don't think he's wildly outside of this list, though.
But I also feel like for a guy that, like, because he has a Cy Young under his belt.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I don't know. I feel like you would expect different. The thing I just, with the Dodgers trio, for me, Glasnow feels very, not a perfect comparison, but like Kawhi Leonard. Like, I'm tired of what we think Glasnow. I consider betting him preseason for Cy Young. Healthy Glasnow just doesn't seem to be a thing. Like, if that guy's your number one, you're in trouble.
I agree.
Because that's just not going to work out.
Apologies, I misspoke. In 2022, unfortunately, Dylan Cease led all American League pitchers in WAR, but finished second in Cy Young voting.
Tough. But looks like the voters got
it wrong. I have an interesting name, and then you can get back to yours. What about Ranger Suarez?
Oh!
Like, he was like...
Too many bad starts mixed in.
Right, but he was really good last year and was like... Cy Young, like, third odds
at
the board.
He started out so hot.
And then this year, he had one really bad start to start the season, and now he's had two really good starts. Like, solid starts. Because then you could also say, if you don't like Christopher Sanchez, like, do you think he's better?
Phil's
Christopher
rotation.
Sanchez is much better than Ranger Suarez. I just did it some hardcore. I probably should be wrong on Imanaga should probably pass Schwellenbach. I don't know. I just have more faith in him. I'm more comfortable with him.
But his
know.
Bad stretch last – I don't blame you. His bad stretch last year, Imanaga's that is, was scarring. Like, he was horrible for a solid, like, month and a half, 2 months of the season last year.
Right, but the other – the thing is –
100%. He was a Cy Young contender in every other start.
I just want to reference I actually think Snell is worth ranking unless he's – injured
really?
For much longer than I realized.
No, he's bad injured. 60-day IL.
Yeah, they just transferred him over the weekend.
Fair enough.
60-day.
I would say, though, if you were ranking Snell, like, I think there's an argument he's in, like, tier one. Then.
Really?
Absolutely.
But, yeah, like, the Cy Young, he was still good last year. I still think that, like, Baltimore wins the World Series last year if they trade for him.
Can I pop off a quick take?
Yeah.
It's kind of relevant to what we saw over the weekend, too, and the National League best pitchers discussion. I think with this injury and being transferred to the 60-day IL and essentially missing at least 15, 20 starts this season,
okay.
I think Blake Snell has now entered a realm where he's teetering on Clayton Kershaw level of injuredness and lack of reliability. It really just feels like
I agree with that.
Continues to get these new contracts and more money, and every time he pitches for five games and it's something, and his team's supposed to make the playoffs and eventually they don't. And not to say that it has to do specifically with him, but I'm not saying that he's plays no part in it.
You can't rely on your ace. You're in a bad spot.
Right.
By the Dodgers. It's, you know, I don't want to even get into this right now, but it's why that team is so crazy. But the whole thing is nuts.
You're right.
Like you just mentioned, Snell. So Snell's off the list. Glasnow's off the list. Kershaw, no one considered.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, it doesn't matter at all. They're still going to finish with 100 wins as a floor.
Right, and maybe their best pitcher, who you didn't just name, also isn't pitching in Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's going to look like, and I don't want to open that rabbit
hole. And maybe it might not. We might not have to. It might not ever happen because they all keep getting injured, and they might say, we're spending so much money on this guy.
I have one more name to throw out.
Oh, gosh.
That I feel like it's like, what am I missing thing? It's literally, I feel like I either had a fake conversation with this room that warped my mind on a pitcher, or I made something up in my head. But why would Corbin Burnes not be in the top 10? Like, what am I missing? Because
he started really bad this season, but I think
he's
starting
like
to turn
figured it out already. If I'm not mistaken, his ERA is already back down under
a
three.
I would put him above Schwellenbach.
I feel like it shouldn't even be.
Huh.
Again, like, I think pitching can be so fluid. I think baseball can be so fickle, and I mean that as a compliment. That if we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, maybe that would have been the case. But just like some, you know, on the surface of it all, Burnes has pedigree. We know that. Like,
I think you know.
Freddy Peralta moonwalks onto this list.
He's already here.
Burnes was always in front.
He already
of
has
Peralta.
He's already way under a subpar 3 ERA.
Isn't like a 2.59,
2.56.
Yeah,
3-1.
I'll be completely honest. The reason I didn't consider him, and quite frankly, just maybe it's just because I was doing too much brain power stuff and not enough, as you've alluded to, using my computer. but I just still think that because of how well he did last year with the Orioles and how high he finished in the Cy Young in the American League last year, I wasn't even thinking of him as a National League pitcher in my head.
Let me do this for you.
Yeah.
Schwellenbach last season in 21 games had a 2.7 WAR. Last year, Corbin Burnes' WAR as an All-Star, 3.5. And he played 32 games.
So 10 more games. So here's the interesting thing, and I think that is totally valid, and there's a level of upside that comes Kodai Senga. Like, if Kodai Senga had a five-year career instead of, you know, what is it? He's in year three?
Yeah, but he started one game last year and got hurt.
Right. Okay, so if Burnes has pedigree, though, so that's where it gets weird, and I don't know how you slot in potential versus pedigree on a list this.
Yeah, no,
It's fair. I lose that argument. Simple.
So maybe I think maybe the nicest way or the easiest way to button this, if it's interesting to you guys, is if you had to create a tier one of National League pitchers, how long is that list? Like, I'd listen. Like, is it Skeens alone?
No.
I think that's crazy.
No.
But like
two.
Like
I think the way Senga's pitching this year, you can consider it. But like injuries,
he doesn't have the pedigree.
You're putting. Excuse me.
Skeens, Yamamoto.
Yamamoto. Three.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of Yamamoto.
Tier two, like Sale, Senga.
Sale's off that list. Like, it's weird, but
yes,
like,
yes. I do. I think Sale's in the same boat as Strider. I think they're second tier.
I don't think you could.
Again, I think it is so safe. I think the safest bet is to just not rank Strider.
Right, not even included.
I think Sale, Senga, like tier two. Truly.
What about Hunter Green?
Tier two.
Mm-hmm. Tier two?
Injuries.
Yeah. Like, I just, what felt like there's no way these guys wouldn't be in my top 10 would have been Wheeler, Skeens, Green, Imanaga, Yamamoto, and Sale.
I say a good way to tie this up. Let's just do a top 10 ranking consensus of the pitchers.
Are we going to find a consensus, though?
Yeah, majority vote.
We don't have to rank them 1 through 10. We can just say the 10 pitchers in the top
right,
10.
Right.
Right? We can, like, go. Yeah. Like, we'll all agree on Skeens.
Skeens.
There are probably 4 that we'll all agree on. Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto.
Hold on. Oh, here, I'll try and write this.
Hunter down. Green.
Hunter Green.
Top 10 consensus. Tweet this out. Hold on.
FOA. Follow us on socials.
Teasy tease tease.
Its own social channel.
You're running.
If this is like a public thing here, or even us, I'm definitely losing out on Burns and Imanaga. Like, they're definitely getting it in.
But I feel
you're
like,
definitely going to lose on Imanaga. Burns is interesting.
Wait, so Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto, everyone thinks. Who's the next person that you would throw, like, hey, we all agree?
Yeah, Hunter Green.
Hunter Green,
everyone agrees. Okay. Chris Sale, everyone agrees. Like, there's no way there's
yeah.
10 guys better.
The back end, but
Sango.
We're not going in order, but yes.
Sango.
See, like, I'm not. If tomorrow
King.
I could pick anyone. We haven't said his name in like an hour somehow. If I could pick anyone and it was Burns and Senga, I'm not saying I'm right, but I feel like I would pick Burns. And but like I see like this is why again, like I'm not
I think they both should be in there, truthfully.
I don't feel any safer with Corbin Burns on the mound than I do with Gallen. And I think that's like something that like
I'm such not a Gallen guy.
I just like I don't know.
Like I just think
how many do we have?
So I've listed Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto, Green, and Sale. And then I think you're looking at for 5 remaining spots, Senga, Imanaga, King, Burns, I guess
Webb.
Logan Webb has to be on that list.
Logan Webb has to be on this list.
I honestly like I should have moved him, I should have sent him earlier. I just again, like you get to Senga if you want, right?
Freddie P.
Yeah, Freddie probably. Maybe this isn't that hard. Let me just see when I run out of room. Freddie, Webb, King. I mean, so if I did it like that, we're at. Well, so I'm at 10 right now. So who's the guy that I'm missing? Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto, Green, Sale. Freddie Peralta, Logan Webb, Michael King, Shota Imanaga, Corbin Burns.
Kodai Senga.
Senga.
It's not on that
okay.
One. But I mean, I'm fine with leaving him off. Or...
But who, AJ, did I just list? I've named 2 guys that were on this list that were not on yours, in Imanaga and Burns.
Yeah, the only 2.
But who are the 2 guys that you have that are not on this list? You have Senga and you have Schwellenbach. Is that right?
My list was Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto, Logan Webb, Hunter Green, Kodai Senga, Freddie Peralta, Chris Sale, Michael King, and then Schwellenbach.
So
I don't have Corbin Burns. I don't have Pivetta. I don't have Cease. I don't have Lizardo. I don't have
so
Imanaga.
Who's the number one guy you want off this list for Kodai Senga? Because I would imagine it's between Burns, King, or Freddie. Like, you're not...
I'm thinking Imanaga.
No way. I don't know. That feels crazy to me. I feel that maybe I'm on Imanaga Island right now.
No, I'm with you. I think
Burns and Freddie is probably, like, a good debate.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But I think... ironically, though, you know, Schwellenbach got a little bit closer maybe than we thought. But if you just say, hey, let's put Senga on and we now have here are the 11 best guys, we don't know the order. Like you can kind of end it like that.
Yeah, so Burns, yeah. I think it's fine. Damn, I'm not gonna stop thinking about Kodai Senga now though.
He's fascinating because when you try and figure out you pull this whole thing back out, when you try and figure out the Mets World Series chances.
Right.
And you go,
how much of it relies on Kodai Senga being a top 10 pitcher in baseball?
Not enough, because they're also, like, arguably coming to the season, their most prized and highly rated pitcher is Shamanai, who's been on the shelf.
Yeah, but see, that's why people are picking against the Mets, because that can't be.
Right. That's a problem, not a solution.
I think.
No. What I'm saying is that you're saying how much to rely on Senga. He could be.
You're saying he can be kind of bad down the stretch because.
But he's never shown he's bad. But he can regress a little bit if Mania comes back and pitches how he's pitching and, like, sure. Canning, Holmes, like, McGill hold their own again. Pitching out of this world right now, come down a little bit, like, yes.
But I think what this room would agree on, I think you would agree on, the only person on the Mets staff that has potential to actually be in this list is Kodai Senga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll go a step further. How about I go a step further?
I mean, the way Mania pitched last year, no.
I think Sean Mania could have been on this list if he were pitching this way when he was wearing an Oakland A's uniform.
No.
Okay.
Well, I think
Mania could have been if he did not have, like, this much of an injury right now and miss a quarter of the season.
I'm having a memory lapse on how good Sean Mania is. No.
He was good last year. He was good.
This is nuts. This is totally nuts.
Yes. I'm not talking about his career. I'm talking about last year. He was good.
But I need more pedigree.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not dying on that hill. Like,
so that's where I was saying. I lose any Schwalenbach argument because of pedigree. Like, I have no chance of making an argument to you right now of Schwalenbach over Corbin Burns, because Corbin Burns is still pitching well and he's a former Cy Young. I can't change that for you.
I will say Schwalenbach got a lot closer than I thought he would have.
Yeah. I also think the funny thing is, rightfully, like, we're talking pedigree, and the guy who, like, for most people is at number one has 20 starts under his belt.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has college pedigree.
That's what I said when we started talking about this list. I think NL pitchers and ranking them is so funny because the consensus across baseball, number one pitcher in the National League was in college classes this time 2 years ago. Like, that's insane.
He was skipping, going to Dejas.
All right, we got to spin the wheel. It's time for new topic. Brrr. Okay, Chris, let's hear it.
All right. Obviously, it was my turn because we said before Kevin was going to end it with his and start into the wheel of the week. So,
obviously, I know Kevin didn't forget about the show plan because
not paying attention.
I sure as heck didn't forget his order at this diner without a menu.
Over the weekend, saw some reports on Twitter from some, you know, beat reporters from the Steelers, whatever. Saints are looking to trade Olave possibly, right? Steelers might be a suitor. Not sure how true those reports are, but, like, it is now not the first time we've heard reports and rumbles should the Saints trade Chris Olave.
In the last year.
I want to take it a step further.
Okay.
I think the Saints should trade every single person possible, including Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave. I truly think, and right now they have the second best odds or whatever order will go, to have the fewest wins in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Cleveland Browns, number one. If you watch GTD on Monday, we'll see a moonshot. I got the Saints having the worst record in the NFL. They are not a good football team.
You're right.
They are not.
You're right.
Tyler Shuck is probably going to start week one for them. Mm-hmm. And he's 37 years old, probably. Probably. He's almost 37 years old. Like, I truly wonder, right? Like, when I'm thinking about this, like, maybe I'm dumb and the Saints knew that Carr was going to retire and Shuck was, like, just their diamond in the rough. Like, we want him, right? Because, like, now it's just, like, you pass on Jackson Dart.
Yep.
You could have had him. You pass on him for Calvin Banks. And now you're going into the season with Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck. Choose your weapon. Choose your wheel to play quarterback. I'm like, why not just trade? Like, why not trade Kamara? Right? Like, his contract void in 2027, I believe, or 2026. Get rid of him. Chris Olave still in his rookie deal. Get rid of him. Like, get rid of all these guys. Be really bad with a 5.5 win total, and blow it up. And then this year, year two of Kellen Moore, try to look me in the face and tell me you're not going to take one of these quarterbacks if you got a top three pick.
Yeah.
And guess what? Suck again the next year. Get one of these top wide receivers in Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams, one of the elite receivers coming back.
They'll be done.
And then start it over. Derek Carr set this franchise back. They should unload. They have a lot of old guys on defense that could be playmakers. DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan. For teams looking, Kamara was, what, a fourth-round pick? You get a third-round pick for him. You get a fourth-round pick for him. Whatever. You're basically making profit on that, right? There's a team that want Kamara. Olave, first-round pick. You could definitely get something for him. Probably not a first or second round. Just blow everything up. Be bad for 2 years and then restart.
I mean, it's a very good theory. I agree with you. It's the way that I think a lot of modern NFL teams choose to and do, whether it be properly or improperly, operate. Here's one thing that I thought that I kind of remembered has been stewing in my brain for a while since this whole Derek Carr retirement came onto the scene, whatever, a week and a half ago, and the Aaron Rodgers conversation, obviously, with that drummed up. I wonder if, and no one's really talked about this, and it may be me sitting with Tim, but I wonder if the Saints don't plan to play Taysom Hill at quarterback for at least some period of time this season. Like, for a multitude of reasons. One, the Tyler Shuck pick, which you mentioned, passing up on Jackson Dart. Like, it just doesn't seem like that's a move, any, like, competent or not, it doesn't feel like a move that any NFL franchise would make to knowingly pick Tyler Shuck over Jackson Dart for all the reasons that you mentioned, Chris. And on top of that, it feels like for as long as he's been in the NFL, going into every Saints training camp, it's always, yeah, we're gonna get Taysom Hill some more reps at quarterback this year. We're gonna get Taysom Hill some more. We're gonna design this another new package to add Taysom Hill under center. All of it just smells to me like Taysom Hill is gonna take a ton of snaps for the New Orleans.
One thing to note about Taysom Hill, he did tear his ACL in December.
Oh wow.
So
they can't start the season with him for sure.
No, he'll probably be out until
November at
December,
least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here is my take on getting rid of Olave and Kamara. You do not need to in order to be one of the worst teams in football. You might as well keep the few good players you have to give Kellen Moore at least some opportunity to call competent plays, because I don't think it's going to be the difference between them picking 3rd and 13th.
But are you going to look to sign Olave? Like he's like fifth year option, right? Like,
yeah, no, all of them can leave. But they are in, their cap spot has been so dire for so long that I would make none of those moves with wins and losses in mind, and all of it with the cap in mind. And I don't know if any of those moves are going to save them money. Like, I'm pretty sure the Kamara one would not. So I would then just let Kamara be on the team. And I'll add this with the Saints. Their decision to pick Tyler Shuck has essentially already sunk a top 40 selection, which is pretty unacceptable to do. I think they drafted Shuck over all the other quarterbacks because he was the oldest. Like, I think that they kind of zagged on, we want a young guy, because they were like, no, we're going to get the old guy, because I think they knew he was starting. I don't know if they knew Carr was retiring. I didn't think they knew he wasn't their quarterback. And they're like, this is good. Like, Tyler Shuck can start for us. And I think that is crazy, because if they do end up as bad as you think, I tend to agree right now, they are going to draft the franchise in that top 5 pick. And they literally wasted a pick with Donovan Ezeraku, Will Johnson, Mason Taylor on the board when that was completely unnecessary.
Are they, though? I do wonder about this when it comes to the Saints tanking. And I know that, you know, this next quarterback class is loaded. There have been two seemingly parallel conversations going on in the media world, and that is, Arch Manning may not, in fact, be coming out after this season, right? And the Saints really want Arch Manning.
Yep. Well, he would go to the Saints, 1,000%.
I agree so much.
His grandpa was a legend there.
So that
is a spot. Like, that would be like a spot. Like, yes, that's where we want to go. Like, yeah. History.
I'm asking this as an honest question. When's the last time a Manning quarterback didn't finish college?
So that is the part of it where everyone thinks that that's why he's going to stay, finish college. But also, the Mannings had a lot of say in where they went. And what I think they've done is now completely soften the blow of, if the I'm not trying, you know, to take shots at any team. If incompetent franchise A wins the Caleb Williams trying to not be a Bear.
Sure.
Okay. If the team that has the first pick and Arch lives up to his hype, and if he leaves, everybody knows he's going to go first. If a team that they don't want to go to is drafting, they're going to go, we always plan to go back to Texas. And I agree, the Saints don't fit that description.
Huh. Okay.
I think they'd be like, oh my God, this is too poetic. I think every Manning will be at every game. And I agree with you. He's going to stun everyone and leave because he's now finding a way to do what Eli did in 2025.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
That's very, that's very,
I mean, that writes itself. Like, Grandpa Arch Manning, right?
Grandpa
Arch.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I think that they are making sure that they don't go to name your team that, you know. What? Yeah.
The Jets.
I was going to say that next, but
nah.
I didn't know.
Nah, he might
one.
Be a Jet.
No, Cleveland is the one, right? No, like, maybe he would want to be a Jet. But
the Seahawks.
They're making sure that Arch Manning is
around. I would name my first son Arch if that happened.
Oh, my gosh.
First son would be Arch if that
AJ,
happened.
AJ, anything on the Saints?
No. You guys were talking about it, like, with their salary situation. I don't know if moving Kamara even helps them, right? Like,
right, that's what Kevin – because they're all still on their rookie deals, right?
No, Kamara got an extension last year.
Kamara got extended.
No, but, like, they were in purgatory,
so,
right?
So, like, I got to know.
Yeah, they're in the red for years.
I'm not good in contracts, right? But I did look this up.
Okay.
In 2025, Kamara will earn – oh, never mind, sorry. Potential out, 2025, with a dead cap hit of $31 million.
That's, yeah, but they might not even be able to take that is the thing.
I just – again, I
right.
I think, okay, so maybe, but, like, I do feel like trade Olave. Like, you're not going to, like,
if it gets you something good, great. You know
but
what I mean?
Like, what is something good?
That's
a second round pick?
Yes.
Those are just, they're so much more valuable in the NFL now. But
no, I understand.
Yeah.
But it's a real question.
Yes. A second round
pick
if
to
it,
you.
If it secured them a round two pick and, like, made them and made sense money wise. The problem with Chris Olave is.
But his money doesn't really matter, though, because
he's
on the fifth year option.
He's unfortunately, like, a big injury.
Right
now, so I don't know where they land on that either.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of him in fantasy myself.
I mean, teams literally like the Steelers, the Jets would lick their lips to get Chris Olave.
Sure. Again, I don't mind
the Giants.
Iowa State running back with the Jets. What a team!
Oh my gosh.
The New York Buckeyes.
All right. Well, don't even need to spin the wheel. There's only one name left.
There's only one wheel left.
Get into it, Kev.
New topic. So. The NFL schedule came out, and the NFL is making a bet that is the favorite, and that it's Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers. If he does not go to the Steelers, they're going to have a lot of flexing because we are getting way too much Mason Rudolph on prime time, or we're going to need Will Howard to win that job during camp. I brought this up, though, because I'm going to say something that sounds ridiculous, but I truly, truly to my core feel. If I ask you week number one, Rodgers is on Pittsburgh, you tell me the game you are most interested in watching, removing your own team. So,
well, that's tough for me.
I know. But if you tell me that week one, Aaron Rodgers is playing the New York Jets on the road, it is the number one game I want to watch. Removing the Eagles, which is a completely different thing. And I will almost say this. It is not a slight. It is important I acknowledge that. To the unreal Sunday night MVP battle that we are being given. Between Buffalo and Baltimore. Obviously, it's the NFL. We're going to watch all of these games. But when I set the TVs up in the basement, the volume, unless the Bucks are on, because that's a losing argument in my house, like, I need Jets Steelers. I don't know if I'm interested in Rodgers, how interested I am in on him beyond week one, but that is, you don't get stuff like that in the NFL. You get it in the NBA. We kind of had it with Soto going back to the Bronx. I right now can't even come up off the top of my head something like that. Like, the season after that whole thing explodes, his first game is back in that stadium. I think it's the most can't-miss game on the week one slate.
See, Kevin, you think it's unrealistic and crazy because you're not a Jets fan. This stuff kind of happens. It's a narrative. Like, of course Rodgers is going to come back to MetLife Stadium with Justin Fields as the Jets quarterback.
I love the Jets.
And throw for 350 yards no and six touchdowns. Of course it's going to happen because that's what the Jets franchise is.
Oh,
but like,
that's so good.
Kevin, even me as a Jet fan, like, not even... Like, that game's like rat to me. Like, wow, whatever.
No way.
No, man.
That's crazy. I like that game from every angle. Like, even the betting angle. The Jets are 3-point dogs right now. I like Jets money line.
Who doesn't? It's the worst.
Me, the Jet fan, does not like that.
But that's every possible outcome of that game, if it's Rodgers, is the best.
But you know what's interesting?
If he's amazing, if he's terrible, if it's close.
Oh, it's what will dominate our entire show that week for at least two shows. But what's interesting from a sports betting side with regard to that game is the total for it right now is 39.5, and that kind of plays into what I wanted to say about Rodgers on this topic is,
yeah,
to me that 39.5 doesn't really speak to a game started by Justin Fields in an offense that is somewhat dynamic with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Aaron Rodgers with a DK Metcalf. I know they've got defensive player of the year on that one. That side for the Steelers defense wasn't great once Robert Saleh left. My point is this. I think, and again, it could be tinfoil hat me speaking again. Based on how Aaron Rodgers has treated fan bases around the NFL, teams around the NFL, over the course of the last half of a decade, I don't think it's off the board that he remains a free agent through week one, waits for the inevitable starting quarterback to get injured,
yeah,
as we see every year, and signs with that team to try and go on a Cinderella run.
I don't see that. He feels like a guy, like, if he's not in to the Rodgers degree, so we don't really know how locked in he gets nowadays,
yeah,
he's not going to play. But but Sam, his spot is Pittsburgh. That is where he wants to go.
I don't think he will want. No,
I think he does want to go there.
Who wants to go to Pittsburgh in that offense?
I don't know how you could argue he wants to go there when he hasn't signed there.
Because he doesn't know if he wants to play. That's not. It's not coming down to, hey, I want a better. Like,
man, I can't imagine.
I think it's either he is like, I'm going to sign with Pittsburgh, or I don't want to play.
See, I don't know. I think if, and the world doesn't exist, he got paid. The world where, instead of the breaking news, Brock Purdy, new contract, was Brock Purdy has requested out of San Francisco.
Sure, but like that's not a
he would have signed with the Niners.
But like that's not a that's not a realistic landing spot.
I mean, I thought it was for no. See, but that's
like I'm talking about like realistic on the table. Like yeah,
realistic landing spot stinks, and that's why I don't think he's signed.
No, but like I think my option is on the board.
I don't agree.
Like, has he just not signed because he's just making sure that when he doesn't show up to practice?
He doesn't know if he wants to play or not.
No,
like, he's
right.
Truly sure.
Easy.
I think he's truly, like, scarred from going to the Jets and being like, I brought all my buddies here, right? I brought my rat OC coordinator here, right? Like, and it didn't pan out. Like,
but it didn't pan out, Chris, because he went to Egypt during all of training camp. It's not that it didn't pan out because
that's not why. That's not why. That's not why. Because he went to Egypt. It was because the Jets were the Jets, and there will always be the Jets.
Checked out. He was.
So like, but like that's my thing. It's like if he continues to play football and he is rat, right? Because like he had like
horrible.
He actually like didn't have a terrible season last year. Like
he was awful. This some of the numbers got fluffed up, but he was terrible.
It's sure, but like he's like whoa. Like if I play another season and I take a bad dip in my numbers, my legacy, my playoff ratio, like I did last year, what is going to happen in my legacy, right? And I think he's truly scared about, do I try to play again and resurrect my career, or just call it quits? Like, hey, I went to the Jets, my career died, whatever. I'm still Aaron Rodgers, and that's that.
The thing is, for Rodgers and his career, right? Look, he could. The only thing that could happen is he shows up and gives Tomlin his first losing season. Here's the other problem. Rodgers now, the way it's all landed, he's not going to be a top five quarterback.
No.
Because Mahomes, Peyton, Brady, and Montana all have way too much. Have way too much to even entertain that discussion. So now you're one quarterback away. So my point is, like, Rodgers and the legacy, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like Harden. You know, Like, I got into, again, I ran out of listening to like a Harden legacy thing before the Clippers game, and I'm like, the legacy's written. What are we talking about? And then he was bad in game seven, and people were like, oh, and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we knew that. Like, Rodgers coming out and being bad, and it's like, yeah, he's nowhere near his prime anymore. He ripped off, you know, a ton of MVPs. The winning doesn't match the MVPs. Shout out. But it's interesting that it doesn't. And he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks ever. Zero argument to be one of the 3 best quarterbacks ever. And he just, it's just what it is now, right? I mean, like, do you think there's a world that Rodgers can do anything this season with Pittsburgh where he would fall out of the top 10?
Right. That's kind of my point.
The talent's too much. The 4 MVPs, it's too much.
However, yeah, I guess he can go up if he joins a contender.
Yeah.
I hope I manifest this. If the Chiefs lose Patrick Mahomes week 10 for the rest of the season, week 10 might be too late, week 5 for the rest of the season, and Rodgers waltzes in there,
Andy
leads
Reed
them all the way to the Lombardi, he goes from number 8 to number 6 like that.
If he somehow did go on a miracle run with a team, it would do a lot of good, but I just think it's crazy. Again, look at the numbers. You don't think Mason Rudolph. Does anyone here think that Mason Rudolph is laying 3 at the Jets week 1?
No shot. No, the sports book clearly thinks that they've already signed Rodgers.
So, but let me ask you that, right? So, like, interesting number. So, and maybe they just think Rodgers is playing and he will be rat for them. Right. But, like, they're minus 250 not to make the playoffs. Is that baked the Steelers?
Okay.
Is that baked in with. We think Rodgers is coming?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I feel like they'd be a longer number, or they'd be a...
What do you think the price would be if it's just Rudolph,
if they didn't have... Yeah.
Yeah. That number...
Well, that's what I'm saying. What do you think the price would be if it's...
No, I'm just curiously asking. Like, you brought it up. So, like, I don't have a side. It was just an honest question.
I think like every single Steeler number assumes he's on that team.
Yeah.
And we've seen that happen before, by the way.
And the book got burned.
Where everyone thought he was going to... Remember everyone thought he was going to get traded to Denver?
Right.
And they shorted all those numbers. Yes. Now, they ended up getting Russ, which was interesting, but I just think it is one of those things, and then we can get into the Wheel of the Week. I cannot believe how much I care about that week 1 game if he's on the field. I cannot believe that...
I'll be there, actually. I'm going to the game. I should said that earlier.
No, you're working that day.
Only Monday through Saturday on Sports Grid.
PFT ski, really hearing
College it. Chris, going back to college.
I'm so interested in that first game, and then I probably will be nauseous by Tuesday. The amount of coverage he gets and won't ever want to see it again.
So I guess you were right. I will be watching that game.
Game you care about the most, easily.
I care about the tailgate more than anything.
Yeah.
All right.
Wheel
of the week.
Look, I'll go first here. Nikola Jokic, wheel of the week. Now, this is a double-sided coin. All right. Now, the more realistic side of it is, Jokic had an opportunity that if he eliminated the Oklahoma City Thunder, there's an argument that they become favorites to win the title. And if Jokic did win the title this year in a Finals MVP, he's probably a lock top 10 player in league history. Instead, he still sits at 2 conference finals appearances, and it is nearly impossible to make an argument that he belongs inside the top 10 players ever. That's like the fascinating all-time stuff of it. The real reason I got to give him wheel is I bet Isaiah Hartenstein for 19.5 points plus rebounds. He averaged a point plus rebound per minute. That should be an absolute slam dunk. But not only did the blowout ruin it, Isaiah Hartenstein lost his minutes to Alex Caruso because it became Caruso's job to guard Jokic, and he did such a good job. Isaiah Hartenstein played 17 minutes and had 17 points plus rebounds, and I lost my bet, and I should have won that bet.
What a wheel. Jokic is a wheel.
Jokic wheeled me. There's no other way to describe it.
Love it.
Wheel grid.
That's a good wheel.
Unlike a wheel that screws your bets. That's all it's about for me.
You want to? Your wheel might take a long time if we.
Let's go.
We have to be very careful of not opening this wheel conversation into what's going on.
Let's roll it along. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. So first thing before I get my wheel of the week, I need to make a statement. It's not a panic button. This is not me thinking this is not worth it. This is not going to pan out. Like, I learned from the best. Kevin's very unbiased. The most unbiased man in sports media.
Debatably.
unbiased take, my wheel of the week, Juan Soto. Guy goes 1-for-10, 3 strikeouts, 4 walks, 0 extra base hits in the Subway Series. I'm in his home country of Dominican Republic. I wanted to bet on him 3 times.
Yeah.
Would have lost me every time. Yep. I'm there, Soto. I got a DL hat on. I'm supporting you, brother. I'm talking to the guys on the beach about you. Whoa, Soto, Mets guy. Yes, love this Soto. Whoa, he's great. I know. Man, and they were booing him, turning their backs on him. Like, dude, like, you had a chance to go there, smack the Yankee fans upside their head, hit a ball to Mars, come out there, run on the field, get the DX, suck it to the bleacher creatures in the Yankee Stadium, and you choke, and you play terrible, and the Mets lose the series. That was your moment right there to put everything away. Now, we're seeing all these reports on the internet that aren't true. Oh, Michael Kay, oh, Soto really wanted to go to the Yankees, but his nephew and his cousin and his grandma say go to the Mets. Oh, Soto thinks they private jet. Now it's all this BS because you couldn't just show up in the moment where everybody was kicking you around and bullying you, and you couldn't silence the crowd and shut them up. Guess what? If he would have went off, the Yankees bleacher creatures would have been my wheel of the week. Mm. They came out there, they nailed him, they yelled at him, they gave him the finger, they cursed him off, and guess what? They did a great job by doing that. He deserved it. He's my wheel of the week. Did not show up in the Subway Series. First time around, I'm mad at that. Again, I'm not saying nothing's worth it. I'm still very happy he's a Met, but like, that was your chance right there to shove it up everyone's you-know-what. He failed. Wheel of the week.
I feel like we have a baseball guy, Soto guy, Yankee guy who can all then comment on it. So we'll just like – so you want to handle it as the baseball guy?
Yeah, which answer do you want first? The baseball answer, the Soto answer, or the Yankee answer?
I think take the baseball
answer. Baseball guy.
Yeah, I think it's like the
– well, I mean, well, he walked a lot. He also stole a couple bases, so I mean,
this room loves
the value
steals.
Is there. The value, I mean, he does love steals. You know. We are a pro steals.
There was something you could have made money off of Soto this week. Field. That's all
Dude,
I gotta
suck
say.
It. You can't say suck it. I walked 3 times.
So good. What an unbelievable zag! You just were betting the wrong Soto markets. It's so incredible.
I was Homer. Homer.
I bet him to Homer in the first
Friday
game.
And Saturday. Hit run RBIs Friday. 1+ hit run RBIs Sunday. Wheel.
Are you unbiased? He's basically still a Yankee. I mean, that's how he helped.
What's
the
Soto
win.
Take?
The Soto take is quite simple, really. It's just that, yeah, Soto really, he just doesn't care about either of those franchises because he's won more rings during his time in MLB than either of them have. Wow. So, I mean, why does any of it matter?
By the way, if anyone didn't know, we did, by me saying Soto take, it was obviously the National. Here's my Yankee thing on it. I cannot believe how much Yankee fans hate.
It's and crazy in such a short
for 1 year.
I don't at all. He was incredible. And I just do not know how these Yankee fans were raised to understand this team. The funny thing is, my understanding of the Yankees is the most Yankee exceptionalism take you can have. If there's a good player, he should be in pinstripes. That is literally my understanding of baseball. And when that doesn't happen, the difference is I blame the Yankees, not the player.
Right.
And I have watched this year over year when Rice was in Philly, mm-hmm. Chata was in San Diego, and I don't know, Jake Arrieta wasn't going to show up because he wasn't going to shave or whatever it might be. Like, I've watched everyone blame all the players. And of all teams, the Mets outbid the Yankees. And everyone's take is Soto. And this is the thing with Yankee fans. And let's be very clear. A Yankee fan. These are the same people, when it came to the Aaron Judge contract, in order to prep for the world he might leave. Like, not sure I want to pay a 40-year-old. You clowns. One of the great honors in this sport is paying someone at 41 when their knees don't.
Yep.
Because it meant that you brought in a megastar at the prime of their powers. The Miguel Cabrera contract, the Albert Pujols contract.
Terrible.
A-Rod contract.
Garbage.
What an honor, though, to hand that
awesome.
To hand that deal out.
Amazing.
And it would have been an honor to pay Juan Soto. No, the thing is, instead, it would have just been sick to pay Soto because he was 14 this past offseason when he was available. The Mets made a steal of a deal. The thing is, I will say this, because I've defended the whole way. This is the first time they're leaving this series now with all this reporting. Or now I do wonder, is he like weirdly depressed? I don't know
why he would be. No, it's not true.
I'm not saying I fully believe
fake
it.
Fake news.
But if he really is like now just like, I don't even understand why he would be that upset to be a Met other than a Yankee. It's not like the Yankees are having this right. sick year.
Exactly.
Well, and the Mets are struggling. Ooh. I also thought the most cowardly thing he did was when he was like, oh, it was different when you were hitting behind or in front of Judge while Pete Alonso was batting 600 with 17 home runs to start the season. I just
So what I will say is I do think to your point there at the end, Kevin. Though. Yeah, this is a great wheel of the week.
Thank you.
I think Soto has been very adversely affected by playing in the biggest market in the world. Personally, not performance-wise. Not saying performance-wise at all. But and
it's a good take.
Pure speculation. Pure speculation based on internet montages that I know are edited to make it look a certain way. However, there are a lot more moments of Juan Soto smiling, dancing, jumping around in Padres uniforms and Nationals uniforms than there are in Yankees uniforms. And I mean, obviously, there aren't going to be a ton in Mets uniforms. He started playing for them 50 games ago. But it did always seem last year during that Yankees run, as great as Soto was, there was a part of his personality, which over the course of the first 5 years in baseball, he made such a big part of his persona that was missing. So I do just start to wonder if playing in such a big market has had an adverse effect, and especially throughout the free agency process, looking at all the other markets and then remaining in the same one for a different team had another effect on him mentally.
I'll throw this out there, because I know we've gone long.
We have.
I wonder if the first... You can speak to this better than me. Is this the first time, though, that he left somewhere and they were really upset at him for leaving?
Yeah.
Like, Washington just loves him forever, as they should.
Right.
And I don't think San Diego was all that attached. But Yankees fans are so, so beaten up about it that they've turned on him. I wonder if that upsets him. Like, a lot.
Free agency versus trades.
I'm about to say that's unfair because the Nationals and the Padres both traded him.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can't...
You get something back, right? Like, yeah. Nationals fans and Nationals fans have Mackenzie Gore and James Wood and C.J. Abrams to hold on to and say, we are, you know,
season king
a somewhat
for the Padres.
Relevant team in 2025 because of that. Exactly. The Padres hold Dylan Cease and Michael King, who two out of your top five starters and, you know, two guys who we just had in conversation for the top 15 starters in the National League, they got back for him. The Yankees got... The Yankees didn't even get a comp round pick for him, did they? Did they get a comp round pick? They may have.
But I'm sure they definitely had to. So I think like that must really bother him. And in a way, now that we're talking this out, the way he tried to play to the crowd that first at bat.
Yeah.
Remember how like LeBron like couldn't figure out how to play it when he went to Miami?
Sure.
Like, I wonder if it's going to take Soto a year to just be comfortable with the whole thing. Again,
I'd say so, yeah.
If it does, guess who's fine with that? The Mets. He's 6 years old. Like, you're so
he's fine. Getting younger by the sentence.
Dude, he really is, though. He's so good at baseball. All right, next wheel.
All right, AJ, roll it along.
Okay, my wheel is myself.
Whoa!
That's a crazy heel turn.
No, actually, I'm going to do the Pittsburgh Pirates because of everything that they have been doing with all this whole Paul Skeen situation. You know, best pitcher in baseball just rotting away. They fired their manager. I don't know what they did that for. He's not the problem. So, you know, whatever. It's a giant mess. I would like to, before I pass it around to other people in the room to have the conversation, I'd like to make my own opinion heard here, that I do not think the Pirates should trade Paul Skeens because with O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, and Mitch Keller, they are extended for time being to be competitive. Those are at least the good players. And minor league-wise, you saw Chandler, who was in top rankings for Rookie of the Year before he even touched the major leagues yet. He's still even on the board right now.
Yep.
So he's one on the way, and then there's another one that's coming. So the rotation between Keller, those two other prospects, and Skeens, they're supposed to be good.
And Jared
it's hard.
Jones.
It's hard. Exactly. With Jared Jones's injury, it's hard to sell that down the road between the 5 years, the years that they have with Paul Skeens, that it's not going to work out. There is still life. There is still hope. And I know it's really bad right now. Really, really bad. Like, White Sox and Pirates at the same level with the best pitcher in baseball, that's crazy. But I can't give up on it all.
Listen, I watched this happen to myself as a Nationals fan, and it happens every time there's a team that, not even bad, right? Like, somewhat middling. I think that is a perfect term to describe what the Pirates are doing right now on May 19th as we record this. And they are struggling, don't get me wrong, but they're a somewhat middling team. And these New York-based media outlets love to get on their microphones from their studios in New York and talk about, hey, the Yankees should trade for this guy right now. And hey, the Red Sox are going to go after him because they've got all this money. And it's great to talk about, but the fact of the matter is the only reason they're talking about it is because it's May 19th and there's not really anything else in baseball to talk about right now. I am completely behind you, AJ. I think that this is a Pirates team that, you know, we in the baseball community have been talking about for a couple of years now since they started to compile all of these incredible prospects and since they drafted Paul Skeens. It's just a team where, you know, they've had a very short period of time of having everything together. And in that time where they've had everything together, there's been an even shorter period of time where everything has gone right. That's not to say that everything's going to go right all the time, but you need a decent amount of things going right to have sustained success in Major League Baseball. So I'm with you. I'm not giving up on the Pirates at all. I think the people who are and who are saying that it's time to blow up the franchise are foolish, and the people who are saying that you need to merge the Orioles and the Pirates don't know ball. The Pirates are fine. Brian Reynolds is having a wildly, outstandingly bad year, uncharacteristically. They've had some weird injuries. I know people point at the Andrew McCutchen thing, but we all know that that was not supposed to play out the way that it has. I'm fine with the Pirates. I don't have any qualms with them.
So my topic was almost going to be, should they trade? I opted against it because I'm like, we're going to get into plenty of other baseball stuff, and maybe it's too soon. But if the Wheel of the Week's going to be the Pirates, I just want to try and flesh out where my head is at. And the Yankee exceptionalism that I talked about will creep in a little bit. Ultimately, trading him at this deadline is impossible because there's no way you get value. Who he is, what he is right now, the contract, he would be worth a farm system.
The return would be like literally somebody's entire farm system.
Yeah. The Yankees would have to. AJ and I actually did the math on this with Tom Vecchio, who will soon be mentioned on this program. But I don't think the Yankees. What was our answer? The Yankees would have to trade, what was it, like five of their top seven prospects to even enter the conversation?
Yeah. Like I imagine.
Before you continue, I also don't know how you can continue as a franchise just saying like, hey, sorry, we can't sign this guy, we can't keep him, we're just gonna get rid of him and try and put a team together with all of those guys. I don't know how you could tell the MLB, the franchise of the Pirates, I don't know how anybody would be okay with any of that happening.
So stuff like that is how European
soccer
football works, right? Soccer works in that
100%.
Why is Kylian Mbappe not still on Monaco? Of course he's not on Monaco.
Right.
And it was since, you know, moved on a number of times. I just don't... The thing is, it's understood in soccer that Monaco is not PSG or Real Madrid, and it is not supposed to be acceptable at a Major League Baseball team. The Pirates cannot be a Major League Baseball team and then in parentheses, Yankees farm system. You can't exist like that as a real team. Here, however, though, why I don't think it is unfair for people on Boston radio or the fan to be talking about acquiring Paul Skeens. What do you think is more likely? Not this summer, obviously, but when it comes time, they trade him or pay him. it feels as if it is at best pick both directions. It would be -110 either side, because the contract he would command feels like something the Pittsburgh Pirates are not in the business of paying.
I mean, there's
no, but sorry, before you can, when you said the Pirates are farm Yankees, yeah. You know the Pirates, like, best players have all gone to play, like McCutcheon, Garrett Cole, yeah. Tyon. Those are MVPs and Cy Youngs, yeah, for the Pirates have already. This is before Paul Skeens. It's already been happening over time here. Like,
when, so here's a little this day in sports grid history. We were doing a quick segment on the baseball draft that year, and I like took time because I thought the odds were really interesting to bring it up and ask Donnie. And it was one of those times I wasn't in the mood for it, but he ended up being right. But I was really annoyed. But it's why I remember it. And he went, forget who's going to go first. Should the player that goes first just already start to pick out their Yankees uniform number? Because they're inevitably going to go to the Yankees. And it's like, it's crazy that we're here. He's as good as he is. And it's not insane to wonder, is he eventually going to be off the Pirates?
Yeah, well,
is it? Do you think it's like,
I don't think it's insane, but I don't think it's as to not sound stupid, but I don't think it's insane, but I don't think it's as not insane as you're potentially making it out to.
Okay.
Be. For this reason, specifically with this franchise, the Pirates have been in this spot before. They've had a generational talent. They've had an MVP. They've had a guy light the world on fire right before they need to pay him.
Much?
Yeah, and they did. They didn't pay him a second time, but they paid him a first time. So I do think that there is an ounce of precedent there that they could give out some semblance. And I'm not saying that he's going to get a Soto contract. It's not going to be a 14-year deal. But he could get a Max Scherzer 7-year $150 million deal. Like,
oh my gosh, we're going to go so long. I actually don't care. I think it's one of the most interesting things. And this is also, like, very much so the foundation of why this podcast started. So it's good to do it on the first episode, because this is how we legitimately prep for this show, by doing this conversation the entire time. But the amount of money that it seems Paul Skeens feels like he will command first go around, a record breaking contract. Right?
Like, has to.
Right, like,
for a pitcher,
yeah.
Not for a major league baseball player.
But Otani's a whole other ballpark.
No, right, but
you don't think he would get that? You don't think he would command a Soto deal?
No.
Oh, I think
he
would, just based
on. He plays once every 5 days. No. I just don't get that kind of money.
I hear. Okay, fine. Maybe I'm crazy, but also he is now.
I think he could get $200 million.
He is going to rip off, assuming he stays healthy, at minimum. Consecutive start seasons to start his career, finishing top three in Cy Young.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Top two, probably.
Oh, no, he finished third last year, I think, behind Wheeler and Sale. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I didn't realize he finished behind Wheeler. I thought it was just Sale.
I thought so, but I could be wrong
about
that.
Doesn't matter. Regardless,
yeah, they didn't.
Still really freaking good.
My thing is, like, this guy might, by the time you have to pay him, you'll have... I don't know, when do you have to pay guys? In the sixth year?
After the fifth.
Okay. So after 5 years to his career, the expectation will be 5 top three Cy Young finishes and multiple Cy Youngs. That would be the expectation. He will finish top three in Cy Young every... Like, that number just feels so unimaginable to me.
So, Yamamoto, Yoshinobu Yamamoto's contract. He's 26 years old. He just signed. 12 years... $325 million.
Okay.
Skeens is going to be like 26 when he becomes a full-time.
Yeah, so if they give him a 12-year deal, I think that's probably about what they'll give him. But I don't know if they're going to
double
give him...
it almost, honestly.
Yeah, 450 plus.
Dude, by then?
It won't be Soto, but like it'll be.
I almost think the only way the Pirates can keep him, you know how like the Braves pay everybody like 4 games into their career?
Yeah.
Like,
you think they'd have to buy out all of his arbitration years starting like this year?
Yeah, like basically say like, hey, like,
that's why the discussion is right now, because if they're not giving him the contract to buy out the arbitration years, what's the point of all of this?
So that's the funny, but the way pitchers are and the way they get injured, I agree with you. If it was the NBA, no one would ever do it, because it's far more reliable. Or if it's a hitter, you won't do it. It's more likely you'll stay healthy. But if you basically told Paul Skeens, I will give you generational wealth guaranteed right now. You don't have to prove yourself at all. He'll still work as hard as he does to make sure he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But But if you basically said, I will give you a 20-year, $500 million contract. I know that I don't know what the numbers are on that. But if they offered that to him tomorrow, does he turn that down?
Yes.
That's probably. That's tough. You think maybe no?
You said 20 years, $500 million?
Yeah. I don't know. What does that come out to?
Go ahead. Do you think he turns that down right now?
I mean, no. Okay. I don't. I think he probably retires before the term ends, but...
That's $25 million a year.
Yeah, I'm going to say I think he can get that in 10 years. Like, when his time comes, when he's
like
26.
Like a 10-year, $500 million.
Yes. Right. That's what I'm saying. That. I think he can get like 10, 12 years for like you said, double of what Yamamoto got. Like, I agree.
But I'm basically giving – I'm telling Paul Skeens, here's half a billion dollars. You've pitched 20 career games.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So, like, that just feels like the only way that Pittsburgh –
Yeah, listen. So I also think
if they did that, everyone would say that's an A-plus deal for the Pirates.
Here's the thing, though. Yes. I think we should look at
yes.
Actually, there are a couple of things.
Can you believe there's still a wheel of the week left? What a podcast!
I think start prepping the show. I'm getting anxiety.
Outside of Yamamoto, we're gonna be fine, Chris. I think we should look at other pitcher deals outside of Yamamoto, the other top ones, AJ, just because the Dodgers, this current iteration of the Dodgers, is such an outlier.
What's the Cole contract? That has to be
the right. No. Right. It's the same. It's 309
Is it
years.
Really?
Yeah, Garrett Cole's is 324 million over 9 years.
Jeez, I did not realize there were multiple $300 million starters in Major League Baseball. Yeah, Skeens might get half a billion.
Boom!
Yeah, Skeens really might.
Hashtag up against it.
Jeez.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right, last wheel.
Well, but think about how crazy that is, man. Just for a sec.
No, he stiff-armed your last wheel.
No, I'm just saying. Stiff-armed. I'm just saying, like... You're paying a guy half $1 billion to play once every five games. You're paying a guy $500 million to, on a good year, play in 35 games. That's bonkers. I'm not saying anything against it. The second thing I just had to bring up on the Skeens thing is his contract extension talks are so interesting to me because we're talking about these wild figures, and there is a, I would say, better chance than not that at very least, during some portion of that contract, if not Skeens' prime, it will be played in a Major League Baseball that has a salary cap and a salary floor, at which point the value of that contract, no matter the numerical value, completely changes, whether it be for the better or the worse. That was my last thing on that. My wheel of the week. This is a non-sports wheel of the week. This is a sports grid wheel
of the week. Nice light note.
And we are going to end on a funny one. My wheel of the week is our beloved host of Pro Baseball Today, co-host of Betting Above the Rim, Tom Vecchio, making his second appearance on the show in episode one, I guess, even though, yeah, we just won't count the episode zero appearance he made. Tom Vecchio, wheel of the week, because truly the wildest pizza eater I have ever heard about in my life. I say heard about because I didn't witness it, but eyewitness accounts say the man took two slices of pizza, folded them together like a quesadilla, and then proceeded to eat it, justifying it by saying something along the lines of it helped him just get consuming the calories over with. Just honestly, one of the wildest things I've ever heard. And I think if I ever saw someone eat pizza like that in front of me, I would have to take it out of their hands and throw it.
Eating should never be a chore, and you should never make your pizza kiss.
Dude, but that's
whoa.
That's no, great.
That's deep.
Unreal take, honestly.
Pizzadilla.
If someone said, yo, make those slices kiss, that's what he did. That's what that man did before eating that pizza. He also called them cheese slices. Not really. Bothered.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, Kevin was really bothered by him calling them cheese.
Being a health guy, just like Tommy V, like that just makes no sense. Like you need to like digest your food and like eat it, like let your body like understand like what you're eating
right,
to like take it
podcast,
in.
That's not a health podcast.
He said gains, and I.
What's the difference of doing that or just eating them individually?
But truly though,
no.
For 75% of this podcast, something we need to consider moving forward when we're eating our meals. Someone's like, that's quite a lot you got there. Hit him with a gains and just keep on, just
oh,
keep
yeah.
on chowing
no,
down.
You, that is like that is what you do. Like, oh, you're eating gains.
Yeah, I know. You're telling me. I'm gutted.
No, but that's insane. Like, enjoy it, brother. Because I'm like, because then what like, that's why.
All right, Kofsky's talking about health too much. We got to end
the No, pod. like that is, like, then you're stuck in getting four of the same slices, right? Because, like, you're not going to, like, you can't do a buff chicken with, like, a pepperoni in there, right? Like, that's weird. You get four different slices. You enjoy all four of them, different flavors.
I don't think you can make four different, I don't think you can make them kiss. That's the problem.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So then you're stuck. You're stuck getting plain slices.
I don't think he eats anything beyond plain.
Well, then it's not gains. Guess what? You eat gains by eating the buff chicken. There's protein on there. That's gains. Cheese slices, not enough gains.
I'll just say this.
Kevin Gaines.
It's crazy how much more Chris respects me since I started going to the gym. It's he really sees me in a different light.
It really is. Tell me your bench numbers, too.
What a guest appearance.
Our first guest on the pod. That's crazy.
Whoa, I thought no guests. I guess
even know we're live right now. That's crazy. That's wild.
No guests, but I guess we could break that rule for the second time today.
Whoa, bang-a-rang, and that'll do it. Episode 1 of Game Time Discussions in the books.